Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi there, I'm Stephen Biscotti.
And I'm Justin Candelario.
And you're listening to
The Saturday Morning Superman Show.
Welcome back to The Saturday Morning Superman Show, your podcast about Superman in animation across generations. Season 2, we've been looking at the Max Fleischer Superman theatrical shorts from 1941-1942. And as we record this episode, it's quite exciting because we are going into week two of the Saturday Morning Superman Show to kind of bring everybody back up to speed. If you've forgotten by any chance, or if you're just tuning in now, we've been recording these episodes ahead of time. So for the course of season one, we started recording earlier in the summer of 2019 in June. And at the time, we were recording all the episodes, and we weren't really sure exactly all the platforms we'd be on. And even up until now, the show hadn't even premiered yet. But as of the recording of this episode, the show's already premiered. Our Listen It's a Podcast episode's available. The Lesson of Krypton Part 1's available. And Lesson of Krypton Part 2 comes out tomorrow. So by the time you're listening to this, you're going to be thinking, Steven, like, what are you talking about? Like,
all season 1's out.
I've already listened to season 1. Like, were you out drinking the other night?
Yes.
And yes, I was. But it was all for a good cause. I was asked to guest on Pete's Basement, which is a very popular podcast and show. And I was invited on by Jason and Pete. They're both members of the Pete's Basement crew. And they know me through Royal Collectibles. And they said, hey, you know, you have a podcast coming out. And if you want to talk about it, we'd love to have you as a guest. And I've actually been a fan of Pete's Basement for some time. And I've known, you know, Pete and Jason for quite some time now. I've known Jason more than I've known Pete, but yeah, I thought it was a really, really cool opportunity to jump on board and do the show. And so that's something that I highly recommend everyone to go check out. Go check out Pete's Basement. Go check out the episode that I did. All of that information will be in the show notes, but all I can say is, boy, can those kids drink.
All the stories I've been told.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Superman, in, like, the comics and cartoons, for a long time, he was depicted where he wouldn't, you know, where he didn't drink. And it kind of preserves the, I guess, like, the legacy or the iconography of Superman, where he doesn't smoke, he doesn't lie, you know, he doesn't drink, he doesn't have any vices, and he's just this good, wholesome, I guess, quote-unquote all-American superhero. And it was in the Jeff Johns and Gary Frank Superman comic books where they reintroduced Brainiac. It was actually those comic books were the basis of the Superman Unbound movie, which is an animated Superman movie which features Matt Bomer as the voice of Superman. And that's something we'll be getting to later on down the line on our show. That movie, that animated film, adapts those comic books. And there was a cover where it's of Clark Kent and Pa Kent. And they're sitting, you know, they're like standing like, you know, on Kent Farm. And they're both drinking a beer. And I remember when that book came out, they actually recalled that cover. Because they were drinking a beer, and that was kind of, it was like a taboo thing, like, oh no, like, Clark Kent doesn't drink beer. And when they re-released the cover, they had swapped out the beer for like a soda can. And so by the time this episode airs, we'll have our links for Pete's Basement, but I'll also post on Instagram and Twitter a picture of that cover just to kind of remind everybody that Superman, depending on the artist, he either drinks beer or he doesn't, or he drinks soda.
Or root beer float.
Or root beer float, yes. That's our nod to My Girl, season one episode, in which Superman has a root beer float.
I was testing Steven's memory.
but yeah, the Pete's Basement crew, they're good guys, and I had a lot of fun talking about Superman with them. And I really can't say enough good things about them, so I do highly recommend checking them out on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube. Support them if you can. Support the episode that I guested on. And aside from all of that, you're not here to hear about what I'm doing. You're here to hear about what Superman's doing.
I thought you were about to say what you're doing. Be like, how are we supposed to know what they're doing?
You want to know about Superman? That's the podcast. That's the whole point of this. So how about we get right into the episode?
I'm ready to get right into it.
Take us away, Justin.
So episode 7 is the Electric Earthquake. And the animation for this episode was done by Steve Muffati, Arnold Gilepsy. A story by Seymour Ninetell, Isidore Sparber. And musical arrangement always by the great Sammy Timberg. And of course, directed by Dave Fleischer.
Electric Earthquake. Here we go. Again, it opens with the Paramount Picture logo. Mm-hmm. It opens with like the swoosh and the opening animatic.
But let's see if we find that one change.
You gotta find the change. Yeah, as we were reviewing the Max Fleischer Superman theatrical shorts, we noticed something that I hadn't personally noticed before, that the intro with Superman is actually different. But before we even get into that, as soon as it goes to the Electric Earthquake title card,
the animation for it is like crumbling apart, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I have to say that what's really cool about the Fleischer cartoons is that they all have title cards for each episode. It's something that we've spoken about before, our mutual enjoyment and fondness for the title cards. It's something that Batman the Animated Series had for nearly all of their episodes. And it adds, it definitely contributes and adds something special to the show. I would have liked to see Superman the Animated Series employ a title card. It's something that I just personally would have liked. Of course, they didn't do that. But I've seen certain artists online offer their renditions of title cards. And I think that's kind of cool to see a take on that for a show that didn't employ them. And kind of like one of my own ideas for that would be, it would be interesting to, in the way that, you know, you would have somebody commission a different drawing of Superman or you know, Batman or any character like that. It would actually be interesting to find like a different artist at every convention you go to and have them do their rendition of the title card for like Superman the Animated Series. And, you know, at the end of the day, you could have X amount of like, you know, for your favorite episodes, or you could have the whole complete series. And I kind of like, it's something that I've been thinking about myself doing. I haven't, of course, done it yet, but I think it would kind of be cool to offer that kind of fandom or that kind of like fan service to a show that never had them.
Yeah, one thing that me and my because I know a guy who's a good friend of mine I go to class with, because for those of you guys who don't know, at this point of recording, I am still in school, you know, and probably the point you're hearing this, I'll be on my last semester, hopefully. But one of the people that I go to class with, he's in love with animation. He does animation on his own. And he loves the Fleischer series because of his animation. And he's even told me, we've had discussions about this because I've told him about the podcast when it was first coming out. And we were talking about how, you know, animation from animated series compared to the Fleischer series. And he prefers, of course, the animation of the Fleischer series compared to the animated series, just because of... One is like the colors to him, they pop, the animations themselves, they're a lot more complex than the animated series. And it's like, it's basically what they use. I believe it was the rotoscoping, I believe, on what we said before. Mm-hmm. And it was all because like inventions like that, that for animators like himself, you know, just fall in love with and they could appreciate very much for something so timeless and something so seamless. So just thought that'll be like, you know, a nice little...
Can we mention his name? Can we give him a little shout out?
To be honest, I still have trouble pronouncing his name. So okay. I'm just gonna try my best.
So we could just give him credit in maybe the next episode that we do, where we could We could talk about him or maybe put him in the show notes.
Because to be honest, like this is a guy too I feel like would be wonderful to have on the show at some point.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, like, if he loves the Fleischer stuff and he loves animated series,
and he just loves animation in general, just yesterday, like for our project for our class right now, he's doing a animation for an animated documentary.
Oh, that's really cool.
So I really can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm always really excited to hear people talk about Superman, given, of course, that I'm a fan. But I always find it really remarkable when somebody makes mention of not only the animated series, but of the Fleischer shorts. Because, if you're a Superman person, you absolutely should know them. If you're an animation fan, it's just part of history. Just like it's up there with like the Walt Disney stuff.
Yeah. And if you're just a film fan,
You should know it. But I'm always really like pleasantly, like I always love hearing people that talk about that. So yeah, you sharing that. I would say that if he has like an Instagram or
probably next episode, I'll probably bring him back up again.
Okay. Yeah. We'll bring him back up in an episode or two from now. But we'll have him in the show notes.
Yeah, cause he's a great guy. He does freelance on his own making music videos, just making like videos for anybody who wants, to make a project. I don't know how he does that. So like you probably have to contact him through Instagram from that, but he's a really great and really creative artist in terms of film and animation that, he's taught me so much, and he's a great inspiration for me in terms of what I should do with my film and how I should put myself out there. So I have to thank him a lot for that.
Yeah, we'll be sure to send him some love, and we hope that you send him some love too. Tell him that the Saturday Morning Superman Show boys sent
doing all the loving for me.
Yeah. I don't really know what we were going with there.
I don't know.
But okay, so the Electric Earthquake, it opens up, and the title card's really cool. I think as each episode of, or at least, I not each episode, but with each short going forward, I feel they've gotten better, and I feel like they've been, there's a little more confidence in the animation where they know what they're doing. And I like, you look at something like Superman, the animated series, and it's more or less pretty consistent in the style and tone from season one to season three. You look at something like Batman, the animated series, and it has a definite style from one to three. Mm-hmm. And then season four, when it was the new adventure, the new Batman adventures, the animation style had changed. I like to see growth in animation because, it's like watching something in live action. You see that progression of the filmmakers and of the cast. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And I like watching the Fleischer episodes as they aired over 1941, 1942, because you could see that techniques were a little sharper, and you could tell that, again, like there was a little more confidence as they were producing this show along the way. And I think one of the ways that reflects is in the title card. But I'm really excited to get into Electric Earthquake because when we rewatched this episode, the animation was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never seen this episode prior to us recording this episode. And I had a lot of fun watching it.
Wait, so you're saying you haven't seen this at all?
Electric Earthquake, I've never seen up until now. So this was the very first time that I ever saw this episode.
I'm purely in shock.
Yeah, it's the first time that I'd watched it, and also one of the things that I'd like to point out is Electric Earthquake is the last episode to employ the original opening for the Fleischer shorts. So all the openings thus far have been the Able to Leap Tall Buildings in a single bound, Clark Kent, Man of Steel, the whole title, saying that they go through, and the following episodes, they actually change the introduction. So I'd like to point that out.
Let's see if we can find that change here, because we're actually not too sure when it happened exactly, but we think it's this episode.
No, this episode's.
Are you sure it's this? Oh, this is the same as before?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's definitely the next one.
It's definitely the next one, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, you're right, because we passed it already. But yeah, as Steven was saying too about the animation of this episode is one of the best ones that we've watched so far. That is because, it has to do with, it's like, as they say in terms of graphics design or in terms of animation, water is how you know you got good animation or bad animation. And as soon as this episode opened up with the water, the waves effects, I was like, that's great animation. That's, you know, great animation for the time. And that even looks better than the water in Superman the Animated Series. And that's where, like, you know, probably my next conversation with my friend will probably come up with. We probably spend like 30 minutes talking about water. Next time we have class together.
Yeah, the animation is really sharp in this episode. One of the interesting things is, so it starts out with a panning shot over Manhattan. And what I really appreciate about this is, again, Max and Dave Fleischer and the people that worked on this show, they really made an effort to keep this as grounded as possible. And again, to make this as much a television show. They endeavored to make this a serial. And each theatrical short that they did really was trying to capture like an authentic feel for the city and to represent, you know, the working people. And that comes across in every episode. But this is also one of the first episodes where you actually see them explicitly reference Manhattan. And up until this point, you know, in the comic books and stuff, I mean, it's Metropolis. But, you know, there was always this thing with like the early like Superman serials where they didn't really lean into Metropolis. And it was understood that, oh, Superman's in New York City. And in the book by Tom DeHaven, which I've referenced before, called It's Superman, it takes place during Depression-era America, and it's set in New York City. And it's very similar to the Fleischer Superman. And in rewatching these episodes and thinking back to It's Superman, the book, it actually almost serves more or less like a prequel of sorts to the Fleischer series. So if you read that and then go into the Fleischer series, you really kind of get the whole like, oh, okay, I could totally believe how like Superman started here and now how he got here. And I like that it's New York City. You know, it's one of the things that I love so much about Marvel, where, you know, you have superheroes and supervillains existing in real locations. Mm-hmm. And for all of us, you know, on the Saturday Morning Superman show, where you know, we live in New York. Mm-hmm. And we're really just like a train away from the city. And so it's cool to kind of see that and to really have more of a connection and with like the episodes that we're watching, but also to almost have something to believe in, where you can almost believe that like, oh, like this city that I'm so proud of, you know, this is Superman City. And it's special to watch that reflected in animation, but during its time. You know, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, because I feel like what Marvel does with, you know, the MCU stuff, whether it's the shows or the movies, I feel like if, like, DC did that, I feel like it might be, not saying that what they're doing is, you know, necessarily bad, but I feel like, you know, something like the Fleischer series where, like, you watch it and then you wake up and then you'd be like, oh, I'm living in the city where, you know, that battle took place or this event took place, you know, like for me, when I wake up every morning, I'm like, you know, I'm like going to school or like, you know, when I see Manhattan, I'm just like thinking like, you know, I'm living in the city where Spidey swings around, you know, and the MCU makes it feel real. It makes you feel like,
yeah, you could conceivably believe that like on your way to school or work, you know, you could see like Spider-Man swing by or like Iron Man going by or, yeah. You know,
that's all because I feel like, but then again, now you can, I mean, in that MCU, you don't really have that feeling because of the time jump, but it's mainly because of, like, you know, the movies were going along with the years that we were living. It was going on like, you know, 2008 to 2019, and then they had the time jump to where DC, they kind of do that. Like the Fleischer series is the most where I've seen they do that, you know, absolutely the most.
I think one of the things to kind of like segue into like DC films to keep that on point, but to also absolutely segue back to the animated series, I love things that are shot on location. Mm-hmm. And again, with like Man of Steel shooting in Chicago and Batman v Superman shooting in Chicago for Metropolis. It just, you know, you could film it, you know, on like a set or, you know, on a soundstage. But I love when you take a superhero movie and you film it on location.
Like the Dark Knight or like...
And like, yeah,
the
Dark Knight.
Like,
yeah.
the third
and that
one.
Being in, yeah.
That he used the one, I forget the bridge. But
yeah,
one
Dark
of the
Knight.
From,
yeah, Dark Knight. It's interesting because like Batman Begins is a mixture of Chicago, of England, and soundstage work. Dark Knight is entirely in Chicago. And then Dark Knight Rises, they didn't film in Chicago, but they used... I think Pennsylvania, New York City, I think a little bit of England, and it's all very much, mm-hmm. you know, in locations that we're all very familiar with. And Man of Steel, again, you know, Chicago. So it just like when you watch certain scenes, it's kind of like, oh, wow, like okay, like it's supposed to be Metropolis, but like we know Chicago.
Because that's why I feel like that DC does well with Superman, Batman, because like in this episode, you got, you know, this mad. I don't think he's also a mad scientist.
I mean, he kind of is.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of, yeah. I guess he is, but like he's got like got this mad scientist wanting to destroy the city of Manhattan.
He wants. It's interesting because he's insinuated that he's a Native American man.
And he wants his land back.
And he wants his land back. And he wants everyone in New York City to vacate. And if they don't vacate the island, he's going to blow it up. And so the dilemma now is that he's with Perry White, Clark Kent, and Lois Lane. And he makes his demands and they're like incredulous. Like, you know, like there's no way this is going to happen. And he's dismissed. So he storms off, he gets in his speedboat, and Lois sneaks on board the boat, unbeknownst to the mad scientist character.
She's always sneaking around.
And then he docks, he gets off, and then Lois Lane sneaks out, and of course he catches her, and you know, he welcomes her into his facility, and that begins really
the start of the episode. Earthquake, and like he was not joking around when he said he was going to destroy the city. Like he had a plan.
I gotta say, I love this shot of Lois Lane getting into the elevator with him.
She's like cowering.
She's very cowering in the side, and I like the intensity to that to the animation where it really captures her emotions so well. And you know, there's so much to the animated performances that makes it really fun to watch. It'd almost be cool to see somebody adapt one of the theatrical shorts to live action. And, you know, they're 9 minutes, so it'd be super cool, I think, like if you had like someone like Henry Cavill or Tyler Hoechlin or one of these guys, or maybe even a new person.
Come on, Warner Brothers,
you adapt can do an episode. You know, it would totally work.
Okay, Warner Brothers, if you're listening, please do this, because all you would need probably is $1 million. That's about it. That's probably nothing to you at this
point. Yeah, and especially like at this point, you know, with Superman and him being a little more grounded and doing strongman stuff, it could totally be done. Like, I feel like with enough timing, like we could probably recreate it with like my action figures, you know.
And doing a little like Adobe After Effects for that.
But yeah, so the mad scientist, he starts up his console and he targets Manhattan Island, and he has these like coils that are connected from his facility to different points in the island, and he turns on the machine, everything starts whirring and crackling. And he's exploding different areas of the city.
He really wants
he's truly creating like this electric induced earthquake. And the animation of really the city falling apart is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's very reminiscent of like Krypton exploding, which, you know, just like in the back of my head, I'm watching this and it's like, okay, Clark Kent's watching New York get destroyed before his eyes, but it's also very much like the way his planet, his home planet, was destroyed.
And in this episode, Clark Kent is actually saying the most dialogue that he's ever said before, but later on he will say even more. So if you guys like
this shot, was incredible. Where you see the city.
City is like all in shadows in that shot too. So it's kind of like you just see.
And the only thing that you see in color, yeah, the city's in shadows, and you see like just like the cityscape, and in the background you have the color of the explosions going off.
Yeah, that's actually one thing too as well. That was yesterday when we were in editing class. Like a great transition from Lawrence of Arabia when he blows out the match, and then it transitions to a sunset. I feel like that will work perfectly for this episode. Like, just like, I don't know, Superman blows out some fire and then transitions to that, even though it's destruction.
What I like right here in the electric earthquake is as Superman's destroying the electrical coils, he's underwater and he comes up for air, and the coil wraps itself around him and pulls him back underwater. And it's interesting to almost kind of like get a little more of an animated sense of villainy to the coils. Like, it's this inanimate object, but you're having like this kind of like cartoon kind of villainy in the coils itself actually wrapping around Superman's neck. And I can't help but point out that that does bring to mind Man of Steel, when Superman's fighting the World Engine near the end of the movie. There are these like coils that come out of it that are attacking him, and one wraps itself around him and throws him down.
So it's like you're thinking.
And I gotta say, in my own viewpoint, and in the commentary that I'm offering here, I have to definitely research this, and I would love to find out. But yeah, I kind of feel like that's a definite homage to that. It almost happens shot for shot. And we know that there are a lot of ways that Man of Steel paid homage to different areas of Superman in history.
Our exact center level,
you know, Jay Oliva, he did a lot of the storyboards, and he's somebody that I've actually interviewed before for a blog that I would write for called whatyoureading.com. And so I'm not promising anything, but I want to reach out to him and say, hey, look, we're doing this show and we kind of caught this, and can you confirm or deny that that's the same thing?
He'd probably say yes to you.
I think so. It's definitely worth pointing out, because it's in watching this and in knowing what Man of Steel is, you know, and what they did with that, it's eerily similar. So that's my question for all of you for this episode of Electric Earthquake. If you have watched it, if you're familiar with the episode, or if you're just watching it for the first time, keep an eye out for that scene. It happens a little like around like 6-7 minutes into the episode. And if you feel like that's the same thing, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because it really reminds me of Man of Steel.
Yeah, this episode was definitely changing in terms of the series. We had more dialogue for Clark Kent. We had improved, and not so improved, but, you know, it's the best animation we've seen, especially in terms of water effects. We've had, you know, a change in terms of the way Clark Kent changes into Superman. And when he says it more sarcastically now, when he says this looks like a job for Superman, he says it in a more sarcastic way. He's like, oh, is it like this time again? It's like, this is a job for Superman. So like, he's like more used to it. So like, at first I thought this series was not going to change, you know, that line, because it's serials and they don't really connect to each other in terms of story. But it looks like the characters themselves are developing other than the story itself.
Yeah. Of course, Superman saves the day. He stops the mad scientist. And the shot, of course, every episode always ends on an up-close look at the Daily Planet newspaper. And it says, Superman saves Manhattan Island, story by Lois Lane. And once again, Superman disappears again. But what I want to point out is Manhattan Island, it's now confirmed that Superman, the Fleischer Shorts, clearly are in New York City. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Metropolis, as far as we're concerned, is New York. But in this point in time of Superman, it's just Manhattan. And so that kind of makes me want to go into Manhattan one these days and just take some photos with like the Fleischer Superman figure around. But I love that every episode also ends with Superman disappears again. There's a whole episode that we could talk about just Superman disappearing and what he's doing, you know, like, or like more like what people in Metropolis are speculating on about Superman. Like, he's of course know that he's Clark Kent, but like, what do people think he's doing?
He's probably sitting in the Superman cave, just, you know, just relaxing, you know, eating some like Superman cereal.
Root beer floats.
Root beer floats, you know, probably.
And now, I'm sorry to cut you off. I have to go to this shot. In commentary that we've watched in the making ofs on this episode, the way the electric earthquake ends, it's with Lois and Clark, and they're on a ferry, and they're looking at like this wonderful painted backdrop of Manhattan, and it just really gives you this, again, like this really grounded feel, you know, where, you know, it's two people on a ferry. And it gives you a flavor that you don't normally get to see in animation, or especially in like the world of superheroes. And again, I'm a big sucker for anything that really gives you something grounded and something real, a little more realistic. And I love Superman.
I just don't know how Electric Earthquake will be realistic, though,
yeah,
at this point.
But I do love Superman. I love Max Fleischer's Superman shorts. I'm having so much fun watching them. Like I said, this was the first time that I ever saw this episode. And yeah, Justin, what did you think?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. Honestly, best animated episode, in my opinion, that we've seen of the Fleischer series. I love the design. I love the animation, especially in the water effects. Water effects were really good. I like that Clark Kent's talking more in the dialogue. That's what I wanted him to do, is talk a little bit more in the dialogue, because, you know, to get to know him a little bit more as a person, other than just the one-liner we'll have, and then the other one-liner of Superman has changed into the character of Superman, because remember, he's two characters. He's Clark Kent, Superman, like Batman, and Batman, Bruce Wayne, gotta play both parts. And, you know, it was a very fun and enjoyable episode, just like the rest of them. Probably my favorite in terms of animation, but not too much in terms of, like, the story or the plot. I think
animation, you like the story.
My mind probably goes for, I believe, like, remember off the top of my head, it might be the dinosaur one.
Oh, the Arctic Giant, yeah.
Yeah, it might be the dinosaur, just because of how ridiculous and crazy it was.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick an episode of, you know, like, with, like, Superman the Animated Series, I could definitely, like, go and say, like, look, these are, you know, my episodes of choice. Flesh. But with, like, the Fleischer shorts, I'm not going to state which ones I like the most right now, but in a few weeks, especially when we get closer to the end, I'll name some of the ones that I like. And I think maybe it would be fun, like, you know, like, I'm coming up with this idea now, but for maybe you and me to do a one-off episode.
Like a rating system?
Not so much that, but we could do that, but, like, where we do, like, a one-off episode where, you know, it's, like, Justin's picks, and, like, you, like, pick
top three picks,
your, like top three episodes of Superman the Animated Series, and you pick your top three episodes of the Fleischer Animated
After
Series.
After you complete them as a whole, or, like, by season?
Well, by season, and then, like, we could, like, do that where then we kind of, like, go back and have, like, maybe, like, an extended conversation about those episodes.
Kind of like what we did with Little Flesh, in a way.
A little bit like that, but where, you know, where instead of it being, like, on, like, that one episode, we'll just kind of, like, talk about, like, okay, here's our three picks. So, you know, if you don't want to watch all the episodes, here are the ones that you absolutely should watch. And mm-hmm. You could do one of those, I could do one of those, and I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
So where can we find you, Justin?
You can find me at Justin, Justyn, Candelaria on Instagram, Prime Critic Entertainment on Instagram and Twitter also.
And you can find me at Sherbert Danny Jr. on Instagram, and you could find me on Twitter at Reggie Mantle III. That's Reggie Mantle with an uppercase III. The Saturday Morning Superman Show is on Instagram and Twitter as well. So you could find Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram. On Twitter, it's Sat Morning Superman. But if you type it in, it's all in the show notes. And now, for the first time, I could actually say that you could find us on Castbox, Stitcher, and Podbean. Previously, when we were recording, we didn't have a podcasting streaming service selected at the time, but now, as of this recording, we already have them selected, and so I would imagine that you could find us on those three and more as we add them to. But we've really been enjoying Castbox, Stitcher, and Podbean, especially Podbean. And the link to all of our episodes, of course, are in the show notes. And if you're listening to this, duh. I mean, of course you're listening to us on one of the apps. But thank you again for listening, for commenting, for supporting. If you like this episode, leave us a review. If you don't like it, let us know as well, and we'll see what we could do. Until next time, be peaceful, everyone.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.